Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute, on air and online, this is Intersection.
Hello and welcome to Intersection, where people and ideas meet. I'm Reuben Stern. Parents and students in Columbia will see some changes in the upcoming school year. The opening of the new Battle High School and the reorganization of Columbia's secondary schools are prompting the school board to develop a new plan for transporting kids to campus. Part of that new plan is a change in the time that classes begin each day at the various grade levels. An initial proposal would have had high schoolers begin the day first at 7:20 a.m., but a lot of parents and students pushed back, so the school board has already backed away from that initial idea, but a final decision is still in the works regarding which students will get each of the three new start times. The board is expected to vote on a plan February 11th. Today on our program, we'll explore why these changes are happening, what the various options are, and how the new school start times might affect you and the students around you. Joining me in the studio, Christine King is the Vice President of the Columbia School Board. She also heads the board's Transportation Committee. Welcome to our program, Christine King.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We also have with us today Mark Moss. He is the principal of Rockbridge High School in Columbia. Welcome to our program, Mark Moss.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here with us as well today.
Thanks for having me.
We hope that you and our audience will join the conversation, too. What time do you think would be ideal for students of various ages to begin their school day? A lot of parents have an opinion on this, so if you have kids in school, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also join our online chat by going to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. Again, our phone lines and chat room are open from 2 to 3 each Monday. And let's start off with maybe a little context. Christine, why is the school board having to make changes to the school start times?
Well, when we made the changes to our grade configurations of going to, instead of having a middle school and a junior high structure, but six schools that will now serve grades 6 through 8, and then the three comprehensive high schools, we knew that we couldn't continue with our current mode of the way we're transporting children to school. And we knew there had to be some sort of a change in order to better utilize our resources. And so this transportation committee was formed about 15, 16 months ago by Dr. Rose, our board president, to explore, do we want to look at a multi-tiered approach? Right now we're on what's called a two-tiered approach or a two-bell approach. We have an A route and a B route. A routes serve all of our secondary schools, and we have sharing of buses from middle school, junior high, and high school, which I'm sure Mr. Moss can attest to is not the most ideal for our students, drivers, and building leaders. And then the second route is our B route, are all of our elementary schools, all 19. And in about 2 years, we'll have 21 elementary schools. So we looked at what would be the best way to go about doing this. And the committee, through a series of meetings, and then we had a World Cafe in October, decided let's recommend to the board to pursue looking at a three-tiered model. So that was the first recommendation. And then the committee made the decision to recommend to the board, really for the orders. We probably messed up a little bit in putting those start times in as we did, because ultimately it's the board's decision on a start time, not the committee. But the committee made the decision, we'll put high school first, middle school second, elementary third, with those start times that are no longer on the table, with moving some elementary schools at an adjacent start time to balance those the bus routes out.
Right.
And so what we're currently doing is we've asked the first student to narrow down and really give us hard numbers on route times with the two scenarios that the board asked the administrative staff to pursue, and that is middle school first, high school second, elementary third, and then the other one is elementary first, high school second, and middle school third.
Right. And how did the committee come up with the recommendation that it made?
Well, the committee came up with the recommendation really with – but looking at a lot of information. There was a lot of information on sleep research about our adolescent students, especially from ages 13 on, that their sleep cycles change. They need a little bit more sleep. We also listened at the World Cafe to parents who said, yeah, I know that sleep research is out there, but I got a busy high school student who's involved in activities and he works or she works, and or I need them home to help provide childcare to my younger children. And then we also heard from elementary teachers. At the board meeting, we heard from some elementary teachers and principals about how they wanted to start first for some of the same basic reasons as high school does. But the committee, I think, just ultimately made the decision, we have to weigh everything. And we put out a survey to parents, staff, and even students. And 40% of those who took the survey said, we'd like to leave things alone. And so we interpret that people like the order of the start times. Currently, our high schools are at 7:45 and 7:50. Mm-hmm. You all are at 7:50. Yeah, you're at 7:50. All of our middle schools and junior highs are at 8. Then they all release between 2:45 and 3. And then elementary is 8:50 to or 8:45 to 3:45.
Right. So let me just recap this to make sure I understand this exactly. So right now there are two times when schools start.
Correct.
When this is all said and done, there are going to be three different start times either
Correct.
Way. That's
Correct.
Already been decided, that it's definitely three
yeah,
start times?
Yeah, because we know we need to go, based on the information we've gathered from First Student and looking at the committee's work, the three-tier model, as we move forward and expand from a financial standpoint, is the best way to go for our district. If we stayed at a two-tiered model, given our new structure and given the fact we're going to be adding on two new elementary schools in about 2 years, we'll have to add from now to over to the next 2 years anywhere from 10 to 15 buses, and that's drivers too.
Right.
And we've started out the last 3 years about 15 to 20 drivers short each year. It's a very hard job to get filled and retain because we can't guarantee the hours. Right now, a full-time driver, we only guarantee about 5 hours. So you see how it gets to be kind of a convoluted web of everything that we weigh in to decide to do a three-tiered model.
Okay. We'll come back and parse a little bit of that piece by piece. I want to remind everyone that this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about new start times for the Columbia Public Schools. Joining me in the studio are Christine King, Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal of Rockbridge High School. For those of you in our audience, which schools do you think should start earliest? The elementary schools, the middle schools, or the high schools? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also join our online chat at kbia.org. And we'd like to remind you that Intersection is broadcast live every Monday at 2 on KBIA and online at kbia.org. You can be a part of the conversation at that time and watch our video stream by going to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. In terms of the buses and the bus routes, how many buses are currently part of the system?
I believe we have 100 and some routes for our elementary. About 120 routes for our elementary, or 120 buses, and then I think it's 90 or 100 buses for high school, and I didn't bring those exact numbers. But with a three-tiered approach, the tiers would be evened out somewhere between like 68 and 75 buses needed. So what we can use is utilize our buses more efficiently, so most of these buses would have three tiers. Not all of them, just like not all of our buses now currently service an A and a B route. There are some that just do one or the other. So it's not 100%, but it allows us to better utilize the drivers we have and the buses we have, provide them more hours, and it's really provided through First Student because we have a contract with First Student. And then as we grow, elementary schools or whatever the case, or more student population, that student population increases, it does allow us to grow a little bit more efficiently and effectively.
Right. What percentage of the kids that go to school in Columbia are taking the bus as opposed to the kids that get there on their own?
50% total ride the bus.
And is that the same at the high school level, Mark?
I would say that's pretty accurate at the high school level too. Mm-hmm. And I would it can also vary from morning to afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a lot more students ride in the morning, and then they'll stay for afternoon activities or athletic events and then get a ride home with a friend or one of their parents.
Right. And so the idea with this new system is that a bus would take kids to school and then it would go do another route, take them to a different school and then go do another route and
correct.
Go to a third school. That's
right.
The new idea.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. So you can see that because we have 19 elementary schools, and also we do have 65% of our routes, and I learned this about 2 or 3 years ago, over 65% of our routes are rural routes. So we kind of think of Columbia as this nice, cute little city, and we're pretty spread out from a geographical standpoint. So for a student, when they do their routing, And they work real closely with Dave Wilson, our transportation coordinator. You want to make sure that you give a bus driver routes that they can get safely from one group to the next. So we don't want to rush them. Generally speaking, we know we need about 10 minutes to unload children, 30 minutes to run a route, 10 minutes, depending on if you're in the morning or the afternoon. So we allow for about 40, 50 minutes in between routes. And we know we can start as early as we have to. I mean, I know we don't want to, but
we'll talk about that in a minute.
But so we plan our routes from afternoon back is kind of what we do. Yeah.
Okay. Mark, what's the ideal time for the high schoolers? This was the big issue, right?
It came a very big issue when it came out in the paper that we could be starting 7:20 or 7:30 in the morning. Our high schoolers responded very quickly and loudly, I would say. And they really liked the idea of being in the middle, overwhelmingly so from our student population. They definitely want to be in the middle, as well as from our teachers, too.
And in the middle, meaning between the other two schools, however early or late the whole cycle goes, or in the middle because they like 8 or 8:30 as the start time?
In the middle, just knowing their sleep patterns, that 8:10 to 8:30 timeline fits really well with how they are. Having taught in a school that started at 7:25, it was about 8:30 was when the students really got engaged and started, they were learning at the early times, but you could really tell after that 8:15, 8:30 mark, they really started to get engaged and really wake up.
And so why not have them last? Why not have them later in the day?
The balance becomes all the athletics. Currently at our high schools, and then once battle comes on as well, when battle comes on, we are only one of four high schools, big comprehensive high schools in mid-Missouri, Jeff City, Hickman, Rockbridge, and Battle. So what that causes is a lot of travel to Kansas City and St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting out of school just a little bit early. If you bumped it up later, then you'd be getting out of school an hour and a half, even 2 hours early to be able to make it to Kansas City or St. Louis for a 5 o'clock match or game.
We also heard loudly from parents that they didn't want the last start time because of those students who do provide some assistance with the family, whether it be working or providing care for younger kids, that the last start time, they just really would not be able to help out. I was amazed to learn how many of our students district-wide, I mean, I knew a lot of them do work after school, but how many of them, the families rely on that income. And so they leave school. Right now we get out at 2:45, is that correct? 2:45, 3, and then they go right to work. Mm-hmm. And so when you push it back, you know, that does create, you know, and it's about a balance.
How late would it be in the last start time if the high schoolers went last?
Well, the way our tiers are set now that created all the uproar was 9:10 to 4:10, but that's off the table. But right now our last release time that we have, our elementary students get out at 3:45.
Right. So what are the times that are on the table? Are those
there really are not any
down?
Times on the table. What the board directed the administrative staff to do is based on the board meeting, because we had secondary principals were represented by Dr. Presco when she stepped up and kind of gave the plan of when the middle school and high school principals came together to tell us what they wanted, what they thought would be a good plan. And then elementary principals were represented by Dr. Schumacher. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing now is we're going back to first student and saying, okay, if we have elementary, high school, middle school, give us those route times. And then we plug in the start and end times accordingly. And then vice versa if middle school starts first. Because elementary routes do take a little bit longer. The children need to get to school a little bit sooner because we have to serve them breakfast or offer them breakfast. Those students take about 20 minutes to eat. They're younger, they're smaller. High school students and secondary school students, generally we give them about 10 minutes mm-hmm. to eat breakfast. We are also looking at the length of day at the secondary level. And I know right now middle school, they wanted to do a 7-hour, 10-minute day. There's some intervention time they wanted to build in there. And Dr. Belcher is working with the building leaders to talk about, does that really work? Because that's another facet to this, is our middle school days are lengthening. So if you add 10 minutes to any one of these days, and then you try to create bus routes, you have to factor that in. And so that's a change from last or from this current year as well. So at our work session in 2 days or in 3 days on Thursday, we will be reviewing some different scenarios. And my suspicion will be there will be a range of start times, like, say, for example, 7:30 to 7:40, and then out at this time to this time. We did hear, and I believe Dr. Belcher heard, Mark, maybe you can talk to this a little bit, that what would be the earliest time that our building leaders and staff would want to start? And I thought that it was somewhere between 7:30 and 7:40. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know. When we met with Dr. Belcher and Dr. Boren, Dr. Yoakum, and Dave Wilson, our transportation coordinator, as secondary principals, so the middle school and high schools, the middle schools said 7:30 would be a time that they could start. They think that would work for them. One of the big things that they were advocating for at the time was to be able to have activity buses after school, mm-hmm. which is something that our middle schools have now. They just wanted to continue that. So basically, kids can sign up for a bus at the middle school level and stay an hour after school. So there's about two buses, I think, per middle school right now that mm-hmm. will take kids home basically an hour, hour and 15 minutes after the school mm-hmm. day's out. But the middle school principals were willing to do the early time to give the high schools that middle time slot, which, from what the research says and from what our kids certainly say and what our staff feels would be best would be very good for the high school level.
Yeah, I guess one of the questions is where that 7:20 time came from, right? Because the surveys that went out to parents had a 7:45 time on them as opposed to 7:20.
They had ranges, I believe. In all honesty, they either had ranges or no, but...
It just seemed like a lot of people were caught off guard with 7:20.
Well,
as a
if
time.
You read the survey, and this is what I tried to explain, if the survey said, we want your input on, and here are some suggestions. So we gave, ironically, the very two scenarios we're currently looking at. 28% of the people favored one, 28% said the other. Okay, so there wasn't a clear winner with those two, the orders of what we're still looking at. Then we said, leave it alone, or do not, I think we said, remain as currently doing. And then we asked for comments or suggestions. There really weren't any. I mean, nothing to speak of. Some people said, start high school last or, but there weren't any other suggestions. So when we went back to look at, how could we maintain the same order of high school, middle school, and then elementary, knowing our structure has changed, knowing the fact that the middle school day is lengthening by 10 minutes. And I think that's actually... And not to throw it on the middle school by any means, but that's more significant than people realize because 10 minutes in the busing world is huge. And right now, some of our junior highs, they don't go a full 7-hour day. They do 6:55 or, 6:45 or 6:50, I think, because we share buses. So and the sharing of the bus means a student is picked up that goes to Smithton, and then a student is picked up who attends West, and then a student is picked up who attends Hickman. So that bus goes to Hickman, drops that student off, goes to West, drops that student off, goes to Smithton. It's a very inefficient system, but because of our structure, there's really no other way to do it. Otherwise, you have buses crisscrossing neighborhoods. So the committee, and this is probably – the committee didn't come up with the timelines. Dr. Belcher and his staff and myself met with First Student and said, if we keep these orders, the order the same, and in order to account for the – length of day and the time it takes for buses to turn around, here's where we kind of need to start. And what we should have done is either, one, not put a start time in or put a range of, say, 7:20 to 7:40 until we got further data from First Student on zeroing down those route times. And we believe that the route times will be shorter because they're more efficient and we're not stopping at different schools.
Right. And what about the individual schools? I mean, Mark, you're telling us that the high school time after 8 o'clock is a good time. Mm-hmm. How much conversation were you involved in before these plans were developed in terms of saying, "Hey, wait, high schoolers probably not first, not a good idea."
I first want to give a lot of credit to the board for even taking this on because if you look at a lot of schools, Christine mentioned the World Cafe. Well, part of that World Cafe was looking at a lot of what other school districts our size mm-hmm. do, and the easy answer is to put high school first, mm-hmm. even against all the research and all those everything that we know about adolescents and about teenagers mm-hmm. and how their internal clock works. So, I first want to give a lot of credit to the board for even taking this on, But, you know, when you think of ideal or you think of what the high school wants, I really think it's the system. And one of the big things we had to look at was moving away from the two-tiered and moving to the third. And so as I went to the World Cafe, as we discussed at district meetings, I feel like I did have input and we were able to have a lot of good discussion. You know, the Transportation Committee working for 18 months, we were getting regular updates on it. So I felt like we were asked and were able to give our input. But it's a big task and it's a big change. And change is never neutral.
And there's other districts that just make the start times and don't seek input.
Yeah.
And we've been very, since I've been on the board, I can't say what happened before I was on the board. You know, our community wants to give input and we want to hear it. And sometimes you get these so varying views, you know, you're only going to make happy about a third or, you know, maybe a half of the individuals. It's like our boundary decisions. And we knew going into this, you know, we make one group happy, another group's upset. There isn't one system short of everyone starting at 8:15 that, because that would be the most ideal. Everyone starting at 8:15, but we are just too big. We can't do that. Right. So,
well, let me ask you this. In terms of the, you know, the survey that went out and a lot of parents, 40% you said don't change anything, we like it how it is. Why not just bite the bullet and pay a little more in order to keep two tiers?
Well, it would be significantly more. And that's one of the struggles that we have when we ask for feedback and we get it. It's like, okay, this is what people really want. But then for the last 4 years, everything I've heard is be financially prudent, be fiscally sound. This is my taxpayer money that is going to you. I want you to use it in the best way possible. So that would mean we'd have to purchase, well, through First Student, our contract would increase. We'd have to get another, probably 15 to 25 buses and find a way to hire not only I think we're currently down about 10 drivers as we speak now, and then hire another 25 drivers on top of that and find a way to keep them. And I just think that in the end, all the information we got back from our administrative staff and First Student was financially that's not the way to go. But we can keep the schools in the order. And then get more information, maybe condense those start times. But now we're looking at, and I think this is a good balance with high school in the middle and then either middle or elementary going first and the opposite going third.
Okay, so let me remind everyone that this is a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today on Intersection, we're talking about new start times for the Columbia Public Schools. Joining me in the studio are Christine King, Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal at Rockbridge High School in Columbia. For those of you in our audience, on this issue of changing start times for Columbia's public schools, what would you like to see the school board do? Give us a call. Share your ideas. Our number is 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Let's walk through that a little bit in terms of those options. So let's say the elementary schools were to go first and then the high schools and then the middle schools in terms of those start times. What would be the benefit of that?
Well, from what we've heard from teachers and elementary principals is that these young bodies and minds, when they're up in the morning, they're more ready to go right away. And so by the time the day wears on, if they've already been up since 6 or 7 in the morning, why not start them early and get them going, and then they can get out before they get too tired in the afternoon. We have not received hard data from, for example, Adventure Club or any of our other daycares about the percentage of our elementary students that are actually in daycare in the morning and the afternoon. We make a lot of assumptions that it's the majority of our families, and I don't have that information, so I don't know that. Ironically, after we heard from the elementary principals on Monday night and the teachers about that we received several emails from families that said, okay, do not start elementary early. That would disrupt my family. My child's not up that early, and she or he gets up at 7:30 or 8. He gets on the bus, or I take him and they go to school. They're not up that long. And I think the argument that was raised was if a family is dropping a kindergartner off at daycare at 7 because they need to be at work, well, then by the time they get in the classroom, 2 hours, they need a nap, you know. and I don't disagree with that. I think there's some validity to that. However, just as we said, we're not going to make everybody happy with this. And when I say happy, I'm not talking a popularity contest, but we're trying to make sure that we're conducive to the needs of our families and our community members and staff and everyone. we have another percentage of the population that either do not need or don't require the daycare in the morning, and their child is not necessarily up that early. Some teachers said their students were falling asleep in classes. I heard from teachers, hey, there's no one falling asleep in my class. So it's a personal view of the class and of the student population. And, I don't know if there's a right or wrong on that either, but that was what they wanted to do. Now, a portion of those elementary schools, if we start early for elementary, a portion of them, and those have not been identified, will need to start in the second tier because we need to even out the bus routes.
So would there be elementary school students on a bus with high school students
no,
in that case?
No.
They'll
just
all the
be
buses
separate.
Would come
yeah,
back and
be,
do another loop.
Right. And years ago, I believe it was in the early 90s, we had two start times for elementary. We had an early and a late start time for elementary school. And I believe that was when we might have been K-6, and then either we had middle and junior high or maybe just the junior high model. I'm not quite sure. But I had some friends who actually taught in the district at that time, and there were two. There was an early and late. And the teachers and the principals have said they understand why that has to happen. And right. And that would be something – the board would not make that decision. That would be Dr. Belcher and his staff that would make the decision on which schools actually start in the adjacent start time.
Right. Mark, anything to add in terms of the elementary schools being in that early tier?
As the parent of an elementary student at Rockbridge Elementary, there's different things. I've seen, my daughter, one of them gets up, the three-year-old that's not in school gets up much earlier than the other one. So it's just a really hard decision right now. And I think my daughter, I can speak for mine only, but I think she would adapt to either way. I don't know that one way, 7:45 or 9 o'clock, would greatly affect her.
Right. And what about the middle school students? So if the middle school students were to be in that early tier, how would that affect things?
When you look at the 6-8 child, 6th through 8th grade child, it's kind of growing from kid to young adult almost. Mm-hmm. There is so much going on physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
As the parent of a
right.
middle school.
And body odor wise, everything. It's a great time.
I think like the elementary, they can adapt to either time. I know that some of the middle school principals are a little concerned about the afternoon time, but I know our elementary principals are the same concerned about the afternoon time as far as what happens after school, adventure club, or after school activities buses. We're also adding a significant number of athletic teams to the middle school in the upcoming year. So there's concern with anyone going at 4 o'clock, but I think both groups could and would adjust.
And, right now with our current structure in terms of before and after school activities, middle school principals came forward and said the majority of our activities are after school. Mm-hmm. High school said, we have a lot of stuff before school. So that was an indication. At the elementary level, there are some clubs and activities, especially maybe school specific. But there isn't that, across the board, everybody has, athletics or intramural sports. There's fifth grade choir and maybe a couple other clubs that I can think of that are pretty standard across the district.
Right. I'm going to have to stop us there. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about new start times for the Columbia Public Schools. Joining me in the studio are Christine King, Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal of Rockbridge High School. We're going to take a short break, but in the meantime, parents, what are we missing here? What other concerns should we be talking about or other questions should we be answering? You can join after the break by giving us a call, 573-882-8925. Please stick around and join our conversation. And welcome back. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about new start times for the Columbia Public Schools. Joining me in the studio are Christine King, Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal of Rockbridge High School in Columbia. For those of you in our audience, what concerns do you have about school times changing? We'd love to hear your concerns and be able to talk about them a little bit, so give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org or join our online chat by going to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. We've received an email from one of our audience members. Okay. As middle school parents on our house, we're hoping for the late start time. Our kids would be able to get themselves, i.e. walk to school, and the extra sleep would give them a break that they need as middle school survivors. Mm-hmm. What about that idea of, giving people that? I mean, is that a common sentiment that people would want the extra time to get their kids to school? There's nobody – it doesn't sound like anyone's jockeying for the late time, but some parents would prefer that.
Mm-hmm. We have received some emails on that. I don't – in my opinion, it depends on where you are in the school system, if you want the late time and what your child is or is not involved in, because middle school activities would then have to change, I would assume, to have more of them in the morning. You know, so it's about a balance. So for this parent that has written in, if her child, let's say, decides to participate in the athletic programs that we're going to be having in middle school level, the one or two things would have to happen. We'd have more practices in the morning, or we'd have them after school, and then that student wouldn't get home until about 6. And so once we put that out there, and that was one of the things we talked about in the World Cafe, there's not a right or wrong. I'm not saying this person is, you know, that's a good idea, bad idea, but you have to play it all out. And for families that maybe their student or their child is not involved in any extracurricular activities through the school, the start time maybe doesn't play as much into a factor. But for those students who are involved in activities, at some point, those activities are going to be either added onto the day or extend the day. So it's kind of a be careful what you ask for because you may get it. And if at the high school level in particular, if we start a little later, and now I think that's good, we give them a little bit more time for 0 hour, is that what it's called, in the morning. But then if that student is still involved in athletics and other fine arts programs or like band, and their day is essentially still just as long. Right. It's just configured a little differently. I don't know if, you know.
Yeah, that parent is like many others. While some will definitely want the later start time or the early start time, there's another set of parents wanting the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's the challenge of it is. But, you know, Christine is right that there are a significant number of activities that take place at all of our secondary schools and even our elementary schools. And it is about the balance of, if one's late or one's early, how do we balance on the other end? For instance, if middle school does go late and seventh grade basketball is practicing in the morning, how do we make sure and get kids there involved? Because we mm-hmm. want it's a big hook for those students mm-hmm. to get involved in that school and
right.
and really become a part of its culture and about what mm-hmm. it's about.
So. Okay. And I mean, another logistical take on this, another one of our audience members, Jana, emailed this in. A board member recently mentioned the possibility of offering fewer bus stops to speed up the routes so they could get, I guess, close the window between those times a little bit. I'm adding that in. Here's back to the email we got. Has that possible adjustment been considered? Would it make much of a difference? Most students are capable of doing a lot more walking without any harm. What about something like that, trying to shorten the amount of time it takes to do a loop and close those times?
Yeah. And I think that what we're experiencing for this coming school year is the start of a revamping of our transportation system. And we don't want to throw too much change in the first year because we want to do it right. But that is one thing that we learned when we went to go visit the Wentzville Public School District, and they own their own transportation department. They have a two-tiered system, but they do have a board policy is set that a student may walk up to 0.2 miles to be at a bus stop where there'd be 12 to 20 students. So right now we tend to cater to our community members when a parent calls in and say, well, now my child wants to ride the bus and there isn't a bus stop real close. We generally pick them up pretty close to their house at times. But we believe that if we look at some of these high-density neighborhoods, so not out in our rural areas where there's one house, you know, every mile. We don't want a child to walk, you know, up 63 to get on a bus. You know, we'd understand that. To condense those routes a little bit, potentially it might save some time. But if nothing else, it gets children walking a little bit. And that would go along with our safe routes to school and walking school bus and some of those elements. And that's what we're hoping if once we look at some of these scenarios on Thursday, if then we can go back to some of these high density areas potentially over the next, whether it's this year or the following year, and say, okay, let's streamline some of these routes a little bit. But I think that's a process we have to go through. But we're looking at that.
At that point, though, yeah. The school times would be set, though, right? I mean,
right, but your bus ride times might change. You know, so right now we have some elementary students, the secondary students who share buses, some of those students get on the bus at, 6:15, 6:30?
I think that's about as early, yeah.
Yeah. And so now if we condense some of our routes and we're not sharing buses – even if high school did start first, if we were still looking at that first scenario, now that student might not need to get on the bus until 6:45 because we're not sharing buses and we're not making these stops. At the elementary level for this next school year, the route times probably won't change a whole lot, only because there's been no change to our elementary structure. But as we add elementary schools, some of those routes might change because we might have more children that live within that 1 mile radius of an elementary school, and we may not need as many buses out on the road. You just don't know. It all depends on where people move and migrate to, and every year that changes ever so slightly. You know, people moving from one side of town to the other, other people moving in, and we have to adjust our routes accordingly.
Right.
When I asked some of our faculty about, you know, how much is too much for kids to walk? And I think the consensus was, when you think about the high school and middle school kids, there was a different feeling than mm-hmm. when talking about the elementary. You know, right. Is 2/10 too much? Is a tenth? Yeah. And I think a lot of the conversation was, well, what does that 2/10 of a mile look like? Mm-hmm. Are there other people, right. older kids at the bus stop? So I know that they have a lot of openness to that idea to increase our efficiency, particularly at the 6th through 12th grade level, but still some concerns at that elementary level about how much is too much for someone, mm-hmm. For a 6-year-old like my daughter to walk to the bus stop.
Right.
A good question in our chat room comes from our audience member, Peter. He asks, what are communities with school districts that have a Columbia-sized number of students doing? You mentioned Wentzville was one place you visited. What about other districts similar to Columbia? What are they doing in terms of these kinds of issues?
You mean in terms of the routing and
the routing and the tiers and the walking and all of these things?
Well, I think the ones that we've looked at that have the 3-tiered, sometimes when you compare our district size to another district, when you're looking at transportation, you also have to look at geography. Mm-hmm. And so some of the districts that might compare to us in size, they're a very tighter geography. So the buses, the turnaround time is much quicker. But I think that all the districts that we compare to are all looking at things like, how can we make safer routes? How can we get kids walking and doing more in school or prior to school? So in the morning, that activity exercise level. You really can't compare us to anyone outside the state of Missouri because then the laws on transportation change. State law says we have to transport any child that lives greater than 3.5 miles. Our board policy is any child that lives outside of a mile K-8, we will transport them. Secondary 9 through 12, outside 2 miles. Every school district varies on that. So that's another comparison factor. But everyone I do believe that we have looked at that we are comparing to, they always try to look at those safer routes and doing some of those things. But Wentzville is the only one that I saw and saw their board policy on it.
Right. Now, Mark, you came from a district that was a similar mm-hmm. size, right, in terms of number
yes.
of students. And what was going on there? How did they handle student transportation?
A 3-tiered system. And when I started there in 2001, it was pretty much already set. And so they had already been through this process. But it's roughly the same size as Columbia. And they do high school most middle schools, some elementary, and then even a middle school at the last tier as well with elementary.
So the high schools go first in that district. And how early do the high schools go?
7:25.
And so what's the uproar here, right? I mean, there's another district that's been doing it.
Because we asked for input. I mean, that was that we asked for input, and then we get people's input back, which that's, I think, the main issue.
Well were people happy with it in Oak Park?
You know, in that situation in North Kansas City School District, I can tell you it's just what was. So I never knew when the change occurred and when that happened. But I think it does go back to did the school district do it because it was right? Or because it was just the easiest way to do it, and that's why they did it. And so I do know that there are districts throughout the country, and even in Missouri, mm-hmm. some of the ones we looked at are moving those high schools mm-hmm. to later based on the research and based on mm-hmm. it's not just all about activities and athletics, and those kids that are involved usually do a very nice job of taking care of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually a much more progressive step here. To think about, to think a little different rather than just, oh, well, you know, 9 of the 15 school districts we looked at have high school first, so that's what we're going to do. But really take a step back, get input, and ask what's best for all kids. And, you know, it's not always popular to make these types of decisions, but that doesn't mean that it's not right. And I can tell you from teaching at 7:25 with 30 kids in Algebra 1, it was about 8:15, 8:30 until those mm-hmm. kids really started at the high school level, really started getting going and getting engaged. And at the middle school level, where I student taught, it was the same school district. I would say it was about the same, although a lot more spunk out of the middle schoolers first thing in the morning.
And is that's just an age thing? I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. Is that it at middle school, that they're just younger and therefore have more energy, or?
There is a lot of – it's brain research is a lot of it. And just my personal observation of being in two large high schools and even talking with Tracy at Hickman is that I find that high school kids go to bed whenever they're going to go to bed. So if their clock tells them to go to bed at 11, that's what time they go to bed. And you can start school as early as you want or as late as you want. The kid's going to go to sleep when they go to sleep. So we have some kids that stay up every night till 12 studying, and they'll sometimes study from 9 to 12 just because that's the way mm-hmm. they've trained themselves. And whether we started earlier or not, they would still come to school on time, mm-hmm. you know, and be there. But they will get those 30 minutes more sleep if we start later.
But aren't there parents out there saying, you know, but they're going to have to get up early to get to work when they get jobs. Mm-hmm. We might as well mm-hmm. train them throughout yes. their entire academic career. I mean
We had some members of our committee, and then we've received some emails that have said just that our high school students, they're, you know, you start them too late when they go on to college or when they leave high school to go out to the workforce, their employer's not going to ask them, when do you want to come to work? Now, the flip side of that is generally by the time you graduate high school, you're kind of done growing, developing the way these kids are from age 13 to 18. And some of that may play into it. We've also received emails that parents just need to shut off all the electronic equipment and tell the kid to go to bed. What we see in Columbia Public Schools, and we have to remember this, 44% of our students live in poverty. 80% of our African-American students live in poverty. So when you come from a home of poverty, there's probably multiple things going on in that home. One, there may or may not be a parent around when that student is alone. That student may not even have any electronic equipment that is keeping them up. That student may be working full-time or doing daycare for the younger kids, and they may not be able to get to their homework, assuming they have a safe place to do their homework until 10 or 11 at night. The other issue with our students that live in poverty, there's a lot of chaos in their life. So even if they want to go to bed at 9, 10 o'clock in the evening, they can't. So that's another balance that we face across the district, pre-K to 12, is these kids who live in poverty. And I've been in both, you know, elementary and in middle schools seeing kids who are just dead tired. And when, you know, you kind of talk to the teacher a little bit about it, you know that this student has come from a home of extreme chaos. It's not that they were up playing Xbox or Facebooking or tweeting or whatever. It was, wow, you know, mom or dad didn't come home last night. And, you know, and those are real issues for Mark and his staff and all of our building leaders and their staff. And those people, in all honesty, probably have not expressed an opinion on this. So we and all the building leaders need to be their advocates. And I think that's where that's part of the elementary came in as far as to have these kids starting earlier. The downside is if those families can't afford any child care now, now that elementary student is home alone in the afternoon potentially for, you know, we're guessing. We don't know everyone's situation. Right. So we're trying to balance that too. I mean, it's a every time we think of one thing, eight other things pop up that cause us to think about what we want to do and how we want to get it done.
In terms of those low-income families, do you see a scenario that is more or less beneficial for them out of these possible ways for this to go?
I don't think of it necessarily in that way. I think one thing that the board and Dr. Belcher both said, which I think is probably the most important, is being dedicated to working with MU and expanding our Adventure Club opportunities and expanding those opportunities for all students before and after school. And I think that, to me, has been the when I think about our students with the highest need, I think that keeping them in school, giving them opportunities before and after school, whether it's through athletics, whether it's through working with MU kids as they come over and help tutor mm-hmm. and do different things at Adventure Club, I think that's an important piece that the board and Dr. Belcher have both said that they're working towards, mm-hmm. regardless of how it all breaks down by scenario. So that, to me, is a huge step for all of our students, particularly our youngest mm-hmm. ones.
And, I mean, just help me understand this a little bit. So if the elementary schools, for example, got the later start time, and then they started adding some before school programs in order to help fill that gap of time before school starts, how would the kids get there earlier to participate in those programs if the bus schedule is set
up? I think what
in the tiered
system? Well, right now we have Adventure Club before and after mm-hmm. school. It's a paid program, and I think that what we're trying to do with Adventure Club is work on how do we expand that so that more kids could participate, and that's a parent drop-off, parent mm-hmm. pickup situation.
Right.
But we do have to look at that, like what you just said. If we create opportunities, then do we transport children there, or is it up to the parent to get them there? And that's an equality thing that we all deal with, because when you create these other opportunities, and that's why we have the activity buses in the afternoon at the middle school level, so that students can get home from activities that they, especially the academic activities that they belong to. And that's another cost, it's another expense, and that we have to weigh and look at and evaluate each scenario as we think of it, I think, is that there's not a one blanket approach for everything.
Okay. Let me remind everyone one more time that this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about new start times for the Columbia Public Schools. Joining me in the studio are Christine King, the Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal at Rockbridge High School in Columbia. For those of you in our audience, we have a few minutes left if you want to join our conversation. You can give us a call at 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. I guess one final direction I want to ask you about, are there any emerging benefits that seem to be outweighing others that might sway you to think that one of these is going to be the way that this shakes out? It looks like the high schools are going to be in the middle at this point. Is that a fair guess?
I would say that's about 95-96%. I mean, those are the two scenarios that are on the table.
Right.
Those are the only two as of now that the board has given direction
right.
for us to pursue.
And are you seeing anything emerge that would lead you to believe that either middle school or elementary schools would go first or last in that scenario?
Being a board member, I'm not going to say what I've seen or not, because I don't want people to think that I've already made a decision
Fair
or
enough.
Speak for the board. But I don't know if Mark has seen anything.
You know, I think it goes back to what Christine said and really talked about, is the board's really trying and wrestling with this idea of balance and how do they support if the elementary kids go first, how do they support those families and those students with after school? If elementary goes last, how do they support on the other end early in the morning? I have not heard strongly one way or the other. You know, it's like the email you had earlier about the middle school students wanting to go last, which I very much appreciate all the input We've been getting, I don't know how much Christine appreciates other board members.
I do.
But, you know, it's the balance, and I don't think, you know, like Christine said, we're going to make everyone happy. I was on the boundary committee.
Yeah.
I know we didn't make everyone happy because I went to all the forums. But it's a hard decision. It is a change, but I think it is the right decision because as we need less buses, that's there can be some efficiencies there in perhaps providing more opportunities for those students before and after school. So I haven't seen it strongly one way or the other, though.
Let me ask you this, Christine. Mm-hmm. How are you going to decide this? Because you're going to have to cast a vote
here,
right?
Sure, right, yeah. Well, I'm going to resign before then. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think that you know, when we talk at our work session, we're going to probably have to talk as a board to decide, do we have more public comment at the board meeting and vote at the February work session, or are we going to vote on this at the February board meeting? And the difference to that is if it's an action item at the board meeting, then anyone that comes and speaks on the item, they come and they speak on it in the agenda where it's an action item, not at the beginning of public comment. And so it's just on how the board wants to do. My initial thought was let's have another public comment on it at the board meeting and vote on it at the work session. But we might stay with our initial course of action and vote on start times at the board meeting and in February. And I think that
that'll be determined at that meeting?
It'll be determined at our work session this Thursday exactly what will happen in February. Okay. Will we vote at the February board meeting, or will we discuss it again at the February board meeting and then vote at the work session? And I'm just not sure exactly what we're going to do. But I think my approach is really just to continuously tell myself, like I did with the boundaries. You know, we had to vote on boundaries. And people made compelling arguments why we should have what was down to A and B. Is that correct? The two boundary decisions. And anytime someone came and said, well, did you think about this and move me here? It was a ripple domino effect. And I think as a board member, we have to say, we at the point when we're going to vote, you can't say, well, what about this and what about this? Because that changes the dynamic of the scenarios. And as soon as you say, well, let's just flip-flop and move some elementary schools here and, you know, or middle schools here, and now you have a completely different structure. And I think it'll come down to what board members have heard from various individuals around the community. And hopefully they'll say what is overall best for our community of students. Because I don't think, like what Mark said about his children, and same would be true for my kids. My son gets up in the morning like it's nothing. He gets up, he's ready. My daughter needs a little bit of prodding. You know, she's like me. Fortunately, they're not listening to this. At least I don't think. So if my daughter has to start really early next year in middle school, ooh, that may not be, you know, but if that's the way it is, it's the way it is. I'm fine with that. So every family is different. So I think a board member just has to say, okay, overall, what is best for our community of students and our schools and our keeping our routing? And the bus routing might help us a little bit with that. If we know we can get kids, because the goal is to start them as late as possible and get them out as early as possible, right? I mean, that's kind of the goal. We know we don't want to go much past 4 o'clock. We know that. So depending on the routing, if we can condense that day a little bit just by tweaking some routing, that might help make the decision. And we won't have that information until Thursday. Mm-hmm. So,
is there any other information that you hope to get in order to clarify which way you're going to come down on this?
I don't really need any additional information, but I was on the transportation committee and I've seen everything a million times, it seems like. And, you know, one of the things that all the sleep research or the districts that have moved it, what a lot of times we don't have that information is, what did all the other schools do and how did your community face it? Because I think that sometimes is when change is hard. You don't hear about what were the steps that a community went through to go through that change. And this change is hard too. Regardless of what we do, there's going to be a group of people that aren't happy. But within 2 or 3 years, it will be the norm for just about everybody in our district. You know what I mean? Everyone will become accustomed to it. So I don't know if I have any one thing the way I vote, but I just try to keep a real balanced approach. And then once we vote, if we vote 4-3 in favor of one, and it's not the way that I voted, so be it. That's the way we voted. We move forward, and then we all get behind it and support the decision.
And what would you say to those families who are – whichever families they are at this point that are going to wind up on the side that is not happy about the way this shakes out?
I guess what I would ask anybody, and especially those that email me or that call me, my goal when I respond to them is not to win them over and make sure that they agree with me, so that they understand the process and understand why we made the decision we did. The boundary decisions was a great example. And sometimes when you sit down and you talk with someone and you explain the process, they may still not be happy because they didn't get what they wanted, but at least they understand the process and they know that it was a fair process. And that would be my goal. So if someone is not happy and if they can sit down and talk about it, I'd be more than happy to listen. But I do think that, you know, it's a little bump, and then eventually everybody will get into their new norm and everybody will be fine. We have to get through the year, but it will be fine.
Well, and what about all this public input? I mean, is there a little part of you that wishes the board had just flipped a coin and had done with it?
No, not with our public, because then they would have emailed us to say, no, I think it's good. I think our board meeting, I think a couple people talked about democracy there, and we had a visiting professor from South Korea, and was that where he was? Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Korea, and I think it was a great example of how we hear from everyone. What is interesting, anytime we have an issue like this, we don't have the people that step forward sometimes and say, "I like what you're doing," because I did hear from people that say, "I want high school first. I like that order. I want my high school kid to go first because he's really, really involved, and then he can get home and still have a good 2 or 3 hours to get all of his homework done." Those individuals did not step forward. And so I think that what the public heard was maybe more of a one side, they heard an opinion with the elementary starting first. I mean, that was the majority of the people that were there spoke on having elementary go first and high school go later, if not last. And that's fine. But there's a whole other piece to that puzzle that the board members heard and that the committee heard as well. So,
right.
But no, I love the public input. That's fine.
Mark, any other final thought here?
Well, I go back to the boundary and thinking about the public input, and we did forums at, I believe, every secondary mm-hmm. school to get even more input after we kind of put scenarios mm-hmm. out there. And so to me, it's the best way to go about it. Do you make everyone happy? No. But it is about the process, and the board has a very tough decision before them, and they really have to look at what's best for 18,000 students and Columbia as a whole. So it's a tough decision. I thank Christine and the rest of the board members for undertaking it, and it is about the process, mm-hmm. And they didn't come to any decisions very quickly. It's been 15, 16 mm-hmm. months of work.
Okay, well, that's probably a good place for us to stop mm-hmm. today. I want to thank you both for joining us,
Thanks.
Helping us
Pleasure.
Understand more about what's going on with this issue. Again, our guest, Christine King, Vice President of the Columbia School Board, and Mark Moss, Principal at Rockbridge High School in Columbia. We'd like to remind those of you enjoying this as a rebroadcast that Intersection takes place live for a full hour from 2 to 3 every Monday. You can join us each Monday afternoon by listening to KBIA or by going online to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. There you'll be able to watch a video of our program, submit your questions and comments, and participate in an online chat with others in our audience. You'll also find a video archive of all of our past programs, including the full hour of today's conversation. Intersection is broadcast from the Reynolds Journalism Institute and is a project of RJI and KBIA. Today's program was produced by Raymond Tungekar. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Eric Stazak. Brian Femuliner was today's audio producer. I'm Ruben Stern. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.